Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Amen. You know, on last week, we embarked on opening up this new sermon series called Dealing with the Whore in Your Heart. We talked about the broken lover that is on the inside of you and the broken lover that is on the inside of me, which causes us to have whorish tendencies. Right? When you think about it, if your devotion is not solely to God, and I understand some of us are married, but if God doesn't come first, it's a problem. When was the last time you've checked your commitment level towards God, your loyalty towards God, your love for God? Because one thing we found out about whores, prostitutes, we're going to use that word interchangeably, whores, prostitutes, they're opportunists. And if the opportunity presents itself, they will slide into the opportunity and make the most of the opportunity. Do you know somebody, and can you relate? Where an opportunity presented itself to you, and you saw what you can get out of it. It didn't matter how people might have felt. Because you've been there, I've been there, where we've used people, abused people, taken advantage of people, because guess what? It was an opportunity that we saw, and we took advantage of the opportunity, disregarding the emotions of the person. It was all about self-fulfillment. It was all about pleasuring self. And we all like to be pleased. We all like to feel good. Woo. Oh, yes. You know, think about it. When y'all drink that, whether you're Coca-Cola or whether you're Pepsi or whether you're a Dr. Pepper drinker, and you drink that first, that little slight burn, That little slight burn, but it's good to you. You know, after you take that first initial gulp, you just that sigh of release was letting us know that gulp you just took, it was good to you. So we all like pleasure. We all like to be pleased, regardless of who we mishandle, misuse, take advantage of. Now, hopefully, because we've now become Christians, our mindsets have changed. But the reality, there were some Christians who still, when they see an opportunity, would still rush in. Take that opportunity, still mishandle people, still misuse people, and ask God, God, forgive me. All the while knowing that they were going to do what they were going to do in order to feel good. Don't leave me out here by myself, Amanda Bear. Don't you leave me out here by myself now, right? So the title that we're going to be working with on today is called Pretenders. The Pretenders. Because a very good whore, a very good prostitute knows how to pretend. In other words, they know how to play the role. I know how to be exactly what you want or need in the moment. Whether it comes by means of role playing, or whether it comes by means of communication, or whether it comes by means of me hearing you, I know how to be exactly what you need in the moment. For profit, though. Because remember, we talked about that exchange on last week. Right? Deposits that are being made. We may talk about that this week. I don't know. Those deposits that are being made inside of the prostitute, the whore. Right? So we're here. And last week we touched on this particular verse. This was one of the founding scriptures, the backslider. And I told y'all how God spoke to me and told me, he called me a backslider. And I was like, huh? No, you're mistaken, God. Right? You know, it's funny that we know that God knows all things, right? He's perfect in all of his ways, doesn't make any mistakes. But when God says something like this to one of us, then all of a sudden we believe God has just made his first mistake in the history, right? By calling me a backslider, God, you messed that one up. As perfect as you are, you messed that one up, right? But he said, not in the sense, I'm not calling you a backslider in the sense that you're rebelling against me. I'm calling you a backslider because you're not as close to me as you once were. And so even on last week, as Pastor Ivan and myself, we tried to deal with this. We begin to talk about this space that we've created by not being as close as we once were. And so I'm going to try to deal with this particular space or this place. Because remember, before we jumped into this scripture, we came out of finding your place in the hood. And think about this. Everybody has their place. As I was studying this thing this week, the Lord began to show me. He took me back to Genesis, right? Even in the middle of Adam and Eve having conversation, before the voice of the Lord would walk in the cool of the day, it would leave time for Adam and Eve to spend time to know one another. Not just know one another, but actually carry out their duties within the garden. You know, taking care of the garden and things of this nature right here. But just like they had a place in the garden, the enemy came and found his place in the garden. So what am I saying? Even the enemy had a place, or has a place. And when you think about when we create this space between us and God, where we're no longer close to God as we once were, then guess what? The enemy is trying to now occupy that place, or that space. Hopefully we'll make this make sense as we flip throughout the scriptures like gymnastics. We land where we land, but we're going to flip. Right? We're going to flip. Right? So this is one of our foundational scriptures, the backslider in heart. And so again, we're talking about the whore or the prostitute, dealing with that whore prostitute that is inside of our heart. And what makes us have this whore, this prostitute? When you think about it, because last week, Pastor Ivan began to talk about it as also he touched on in Bible study too. As the body of Christ, we're supposed to be the bride of Christ, married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about whoredom in the Bible in the Hebraic terms, whoredom talks about adultery. It's one of the first definitions that explain adultery. And so if we're the bride of Christ, if we're married to Christ, then when we entertain other gods, other ideas that are in direct opposition to God, then guess what? It is, we find ourselves actually committing adultery on or against God. Whoredom also speaks to, you know, the fornication, or just simply put, prostitution is what the whoredom speaks to. And so think about it. There is a space that now we've created between us and God by becoming a backslider, sliding away from God in heart. So the space, or this place that the enemy is trying to occupy, is in your heart. Because the heart, according to the Hebraic culture, is the place where decisions are made. And think about it. Like God said to me, you're a backslider. In my heart, I made a decision to slide away from God, where I was no longer close to God how I once was. Right? And we talked about on last week, talking about the broken lover, right? Broken, the definition for broken talks about separated into parts or pieces by being hit. And think about it. Some of us feel like we have taken hits in life. In other words, a disappointment is a hit. A failure is a hit. And most of us don't want to talk about we feel we're failures. Oh, you're not going to help me today, but I'm going to talk to you. Yes, 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 yes. We're not going to be real. I know you Christian. You love Jesus real, real good. You prayed for God to do something. Some things came to pass and some things have not happened yet. But the reality, some of us feel like we have failed in some areas. We've come up real short as a believer. And most of us feel as a believer, as a Christian, as a son of daughter, we should not say things like that. It should, failure should not even be in the same sentence with us as being a believer. Okay, let's take it deeper. As being a son of God. But the reality, most of us have experienced failure. Not because of God not being God. No, most of us have failed because we failed to have the faith or walk in the faith to stand on God's word, trust God based upon what God said. We allow fear to enter into our hearts. We allow doubt or unbelief to enter into our hearts. So it has caused us to fail to trust God that he would bring his word to come to pass. And then we find ourselves being disappointed about what we never wanted to mention. That is the failure that we feel we've experienced. Broken. Well, my Bible tells me he's drawn to the broken. So why in this moment where you feel broken, why would you not tell God all about, God, I feel like I failed? And then some of us, we can't even say, I feel like, God, it's simply, I failed. I failed. I messed it up real, real bad. God, come help me. You understand? Because he's drawn to those that are broken. So this place, this space that we're trying to deal with, it is in the heart. And most of us, one thing that I found out about a prostitute knows how, or a whore knows how to be with people, but yet be present. In other words, they know how to give the performance, but they don't know how to give themselves. Think about it. They understand they can be a lover to someone, but never have experienced being in love. And it's the thing that they crave. But yet, because of their actions, because of what they do, they wrestle with the fact, can anybody love me? Will anybody love me? Am I good enough to actually be loved? When they think about all that they've done and all the people that they've been with, am I even worthy to be loved? Am I marriage material? So the thing that we understand, the prostitute or the whore, we understand that they struggle with their self-esteem, broken, taking many hits. This person only liked the tricks that I do. Right? This person just likes my chest. Would I ever find anybody that would just fall in love with the total package? Right. Tricks and all. We're talking about, because see, the whore gets a bad rap. But if we tell the truth, most of us are nothing more than delivered whores. Yeah. Been set free from whoredom. And you understand the mindset of a whore, because at one point you struggle with your self-esteem. That's why you were running to the next piece, to the next piece. Looking for validation, looking for approval, looking for acceptance, wanting to be accepted. Not because of what I can do, but because of who I am. That doesn't mean because a whore or the prostitute can do the things that they can do that it makes it a bad individual. It just means that they're broken individuals who need love. And like we talked about on last week, God loves whores too. You and I are the proof. Not only does he love whores, he saves whores. He delivers whores. Once again, you and I are the proof. It said the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Mike, you got the image of ways now? We can use that today then. Right? When you think about way or a path, one, it's a door that a person covers. Two, it's what a generation covers. And when you think about it, somewhere in your family bloodline, a door to whoredom was open. Most of us have saw it, we've experienced it. Because daddy had two different families. Right? You know what I'm talking about. And 9 times out of 10, daddy wasn't with your family. He was with the other family. And all the while, you've been trying to figure out why daddy left your family to go to the other family. For some of you, you have brothers and sisters right across the street from you. Oh, I'm telling y'all the truth. It says what a generation covers because this door to whoredom has been opened in the bloodline. Now we see this thing running rampant in the family. What started with daddy is now taking its toll on the children. Because daddy is unsure of who he is because his father never spoke to him and affirmed him and said, you're my beautiful son. You're my handsome son. You're my intelligent son. You're going to do great things, my son. You're going to be a man of God. Never spoke into his life. So he does not know how to speak into the lives of his own children. A broken man now struggles to speak to his own broken children. Or wife. So now we're seeing this thing repeat as a generational cycle. What we saw when granddaddy happened in daddy, and what we saw in daddy is now we've seen it play itself out in the children. And rather than daddy being proud that I got straight A's, he's proud that I'm trying to juggle two chicks. That's my boy. Oh, that's my, look at my boy. That's my boy. Right? Boy, how you do that right there, boy? Y'all know I'm not lying. Stuff like that happens. He's proud of the fact that I'm trying to emulate his lifestyle by juggling two different females or juggling two different dudes. Because it's not a, just a dude thing. Women, you good at it too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Doctor in your phone is really not doctor. No, why would the doctor be calling you at 10 o'clock at night? Doctor is not doctor. That is Dr. Feel Good. That is Dr. Feel Good. He makes me feel good. Now, the truth be told, a doctor solves a problem with your physical. Oh, yes, y'all understand. Just like a mechanic solves your issues with your car, a doctor solves issues with your physical body. So, man, you better watch that if the doctor calling at 10 o'clock. That is not the doctor. Not the doctor you thinking. To her, that is Dr. Feel Good. He makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying, right? So that's what we're saying. Because he's broken, he's unable to speak into the lives of his own children. And now you have broken young men, broken young women looking for validation. Because their self-esteem and their self-worth is in the gutters. They're torn, they're broken, they've taken hits. Because daddy was not there. When someone told them that they were ugly, daddy didn't block that thing. Daddy didn't tear it down and said, no, I say you're beautiful. When somebody called them stupid, daddy wasn't there to say, no, I say you're intelligent. So they were taking hit after hit after hit. And now you got broken men trying to roll these broken children. And so now we see this way. And the image that you see here, number three says, if we walk there enough times, it becomes a path or a way of life. So because granddaddy walked there and nobody stopped it, this is all daddy saw. This is all daddy knew. This is all mama saw. This is all mama knew. So mommy just knew to walk the same path. And so because you, this is all you saw. I saw my granddaddy do it. I saw my grandma do it. I saw my mom and my daddy do it. This is all you know to walk. And think about it, anything, it's just like, you know how pathways are created. If you walk there enough times, it becomes where you trample down over the soil or you trample down over the grass. It becomes a trodden down tread. It's embedded in the soil now. I don't care what type of climate comes, that path is going to be there. If it's walked over enough times, it is going to be there. If great-granddaddy walked this way, if grandma walked this way, and if daddy walked this way, then the tread, it is there. The path, it is just there. And if I have no one else to show me another way or another path, I will believe this is the only way I can get there. And for most of us, we have been there where we had no one to show us another way or show us another path. And so we only walk what we saw, what was there, or we only walk what we saw, what was being walked out before us. And most of us, we saw whoredom being lived out or walked out before us. So it became easy for you to just walk right in it because this is all you've known. Even though your daddy didn't come and say, hey, I just want you to know your daddy a whore. I'm the biggest whore in the city. No, they didn't come. He didn't come do that. But this is what you saw. You saw him stumbling and fumbling, trying to get the names right. Think about it. That's why women, you say, okay. See, I had to just learn. And call everybody's going to be A. Hey. Forget that. You ain't about to catch me or nothing. Hey. And then you have some people. Yeah, you have some female like, my name is, I know what your name is. Hey. You got to work it in there to make them, listen, I know what your name is. What's my name? Say the name one time so they'll know that you know their name. Now I can go back to, hey, because I can't get caught up in, too many names. You don't even know. Hey. Hey, what you do today? You understand? Everybody was, hey, because I can't get caught up in that. You need someone to show you a different path or a different way. As if not, this generational cycle will not be broken. It just becomes the way or the path that we see that is before us, and we see no other way, so we, in fact, just walk this way or walk this path. So turn me back to the scripture. It says, so the backslider of the heart shall be filled in his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied for himself. God is trying to pull the good man in you out. Because guess what? Even though the whore and the prostitute does what they do, underneath all of that brokenness, there is someone that is good at the core of who they are. God is trying to pull the good man out of you. If you allow God to pull the good man out of you, guess what he's saying? You'll be satisfied. Although the prostitute or the whore makes buku money for the different tricks they perform, at the end of the day, I don't care how much money they have, they're never satisfied. Because the real thing that they're looking for is love. I had to be such and such with him because he likes redheads. So I had to be such and such with him. For him, he just needed somebody to listen to him. Him, I got to perform all kind of tricks. And you would think out of three different individuals. Can I combine the three and get some sense of love from the three? But yet, I'm still broken while they leave pleased. I am left unfulfilled. I am left still dealing with my pain. Yeah, the money is nice. But I found out a long time ago, money cannot buy me love. And at the end of the day, the prostitute, the whore, is simply looking to be loved. Simply looking to be loved. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah tells us what? Isaiah 29 and 13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of man. The space or the place that we're dealing with is in the heart. He said, we know how to get close to him with how we talk. See, the thing is, every last one of us in this room, you got a good talk game. Because to invite God to come close, all you got to do is praise him. Matter of fact, in Psalms chapter 22, verse number 3, it talks about he inhabits the praises of his people. When you really dig into the inhabits, the praises of his people, it talks about his our praises become his throne that he sits on. So listen, he said, these people, they draw near me with their mouth and their lips. They do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Honor. Honor in the Hebraic term talks about heavy or heaviness. Right? And this is one of the things that I begin to write down about honor, right? It's the Hebraic word picture talks about, it's what opens the inside door. And remember, we talked about when you honor someone, show them their worth to you, show them that they're valuable to them, or to you rather, it opens the inside door. In other words, it opens their heart to you. Think about it. For those of us who are in marriage relationships, make your wife feel like she's worth $1 million. Man, there would be nothing your wife would not give to you, do for you. You see, they're helping me preach. So, man, if you needed a witness, your wife is helping me preach, saying, that's right, yes, amen, thank you, Lord, that's a good word, do that. They're in agreement with what I'm saying. Make me feel like I'm worth $1 million, and there's nothing that you can't get from me. Ask me how high to jump. No, I'm just trying to open you up to something. You hear the woman saying it out her own mouth. That's right. Yep. I felt like we was at one of them auction. 45, 45. Yep. 35, 35. Yep. Right here. Yep. Hands go up. Yeah, that's right. I give it to you. You can have that. You can get this. You know how to say, you can get this. Make me treat me like I'm worth the meat. You can get this. So, you don't even understand. They might go right out the church looking, go get that wig. Whew, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, right? So understand. So they're telling you, in order to get inside my heart, honor me. Because that's the thing. Can you really say you have your wife's heart? Or wife, can you say you have your husband's heart? For most of you, you're only in their head. You're only in their head. You have not even made your way to their heart. And see, this is where we got to throw grandma her remedy out the door. Baby, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. It's a lie. Right. If you're going to get to the heart, honor. But no cooking. Because the truth be told, if we have to be honest about every meal you cook, male or female, we're going to be in trouble. If you really let me tell the real truth about that meal, we're going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble. Is it good? Mm-hmm. You know, some of y'all, you want some more? I'm good. I had 8 meal snack before I came home. Lie! It's not good. We're trying to let you down gently. And then think about it. You know, some days, men, I'm going to speak for myself. There are some days I have this urge to, like, you know what? I'm about to get in this kitchen. I'm about to throw down. About to throw. Man, just get in here and throw down, right? I knew there was a problem when I tried to cook yellow rice like brown rice. I didn't read it. An assumption got me in trouble. Oh, it's just rice. Water boil out is done. My children were the guinea pigs. I knew something went wrong. Everybody took a bite and everybody was like, you know how you take the slow chew just, and then you don't even finish the chew, like your teeth about this far, you're like, I can't even crunch down on that no more. You're like, and then everybody started looking at one another at the table like, and then it becomes a chain reaction. Everybody start putting napkins to their mouth and it's, what? So I'm looking like, y'all all right? So nobody wants to say anything. Right? So I'm like, okay. So I turn my back to them. They at the table. Y'all at the table. I turn my back to them. To the... It's like, oh. Me trying to be a good husband. I packed my wife lunch for work and all that stuff. Got everything set. About to send her to work with this hard, undone rice. This is the thing, though. This is the thing. We ate. The truth, the whole truth is we actually ate after she went to work. So I really did send her to work with some undone rice. I was like, when she came home and she put the... I was like... Okay, I know why she didn't eat the rice. She's everything but the rice. I said, look, you can't even be offended by that one. Because you spit it out yourself. You can't even be offended, right? So I said, I'm not even going to ask her, how was the food? Just let that one go, Lincoln. Just let that one go, right? So the reality, most of us, we can't even be honest. Because you just have the head and not the heart. Honor gets you into the heart. And this works for both, husband and wife. Honor gets you into the heart. It opens the inside door. If you're in his head, if you're in her head, you're just dealing with surface stuff. In other words, you're still on the outside. If they're telling you about what they're thinking, you're still on the outside. But when a person starts dealing with what they feel, it shows that you have honored them. They have opened the inside door of their heart to you. Once they start expressing to you what they feel, it could be about clothes, hair. It could be about body images. It could be about dreams, goals, aspirations. Once they start expressing to you what they feel, it shows that you are inside their heart. Where are you at? In your relationship, and this is not just a marriage thing, because guess what? Think about this honor. What opens the inside door? Honor, by it being heavy, putting emphasis on the value of an individual, right? It also speaks to what? Honor is the door to great friendship. It is the door to great love. It is the door to great community. And it is the door to great blessing. So this is not just for covenant. In any relationship that you're in, are you in the heart of the person that you're in relationship with? When they express to you how they feel, is a good indicating sign that you have honored them well. He says, so with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. So the backslider, guess what? We have slitting backwards in heart. There is a space that is now in the heart. And like we said, the enemy, he has a place. But he's trying to acquire more place, more space. And once he comes into the knowledge that there was a place in your heart. Go to the next scripture. Ephesians tells us what? Neither give place to the devil. He has a place. And anytime you create space between you and God, the enemy automatically interprets or sees it as, that's my place. When you look at the imagery in the garden, before the voice of the Lord became walking in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had time to be with one another. It allowed for a space to be created between Adam and Eve and God, where the enemy had opportunity, because whore is a prophet too. What? The opportunists. When the opportunity presents itself, they slide right into that opportunity. What did the snake, what did the serpent do? What did the devil do? He slid right into an opportunity and began to do what? Talk to them. He began to talk to them. Right? So this heart, we understand it controls the inside. It's the life or the house of the family. It controls all of this. And the enemy wants to occupy that place in our heart, right? When we look at place, place is defined as what? Any portion of space that is marked off. When we allow a space to be created between us and God, now what is being said that this has been this space right here has now been marked off. Because we're no longer close to God how we once was. This open space does not even belong to you anymore, God. This open space to know opportunity. The enemy views opportunity as my place. Right? Definition number one says any portion or space marked off. Followed by definition number two for the word place. What is the first word? Opportunity, power, or occasion for acting. This space that has been marked off as an opportunity, the enemy now sees it as his place, now views it as a place for opportunity, a place to release and express my power as the enemy, or a place to have an occasion for acting. Whether he's acting in his own will, acting in his own power, or simply pretending. Because how many of you, the enemy have made you think it was this, made it look like it's this when it was really this? And then think about it. How many times the enemy came in the form of a counterfeit? You thought that was the one for you. He did everything out of your 10 checks. He qualified for 9. You were willing to accept that. It wasn't until he got what he wanted that I saw the real individual. It wasn't until she got what she wanted that I saw the real individual. Counterfeit. Pretender. It's going to make sense, I promise you. Definition number three for the word place talks about space lying between two individuals. So this space that is between us and God, the enemy wants to claim it as his place. I want to come between you and God. And the truth be told, we have given the enemy a place in our prayer intercession. The enemy has come between us and God. We don't pray like we used to pray. We have given the enemy place when it comes to our fasting life. Fasting humbles us. Fasting brings discipline in our life. So guess what? The enemy has come between us and God when it comes to us walking or living a disciplined life, a life of humility. We have given the enemy a space to occupy where he's come between us and God. We don't worship like we used to. Why? Because the enemy is between us and God. I don't feel about God the way I used to feel about God because I'm broken. I've been hit. I've been disappointed by God not answering a prayer that I wanted him to answer. My disappointment has given the enemy a space to now occupy where he's come between me and God. Yes, I worship, but is it true worship? Yes, I worship, but is it unrehearsed worship? Or am I merely just going through the motions? I know when to raise my hand. I know when to say hallelujah. I know when to say thank you, Jesus. I know when I should pray. I know what to pray for. But am I really picking up the heartbeat of God? Do I really have my finger on the pulse of God to know what's on the heart of God, to know what is moving the heart of God today? No, because the enemy has a place. He's come between me and God. Question, how does that make you feel? The reality is some of us are not even mad about it. It now gives you an excuse. Well, God, I don't pray like I used to because the devil. I don't praise like I used to because the devil. If the devil wasn't busy messing, God, I would worship. And God is saying, you gave him the space. Think about it. Could God ever back away from you? Yes, he can. But I want you to look at it like this. If God is omnipresent, meaning this is God, and I'm this close to God, and I do the sliding away, if God is omnipresent, did God ever really move away from me? The super-toe God is still right here. But it was in my choice. It was in my decision for me to pull away. That though God is omnipresent, it doesn't mean we're close. It's your choice, your decision that has given the enemy a place to even occupy. You allowed the enemy to come between you and God. That moment where you hesitated gave the enemy a space. That moment where you wrestled with fear gave the enemy space. That moment where you contemplated giving up, not trusting God, gave the enemy a place. You're not as close to God as you once were. You see, many people are under the impression that they're close to God because they still experience God. You can experience God wherever you go. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you are there, because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. You can experience God, but did you encounter him? Neither give place to the devil. How much havoc has the enemy brought in your relationships because you've given him a place? Be real. Just look at your life. Look at your relationships. Look at your discipline. Are you disciplined like you once were? And we tell the truth. We say, no, God. Or we say, God, it's true. But what good is agreeing with the truth if you don't change? It just makes you a liar who agree with the truth. It just makes you an undisciplined person that agree with the truth. Take me. So understand that those pretenders, and we're getting to those pretenders. This is Mark chapter number 7, verses 1 through 6. It says, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well have Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 29, verse number 13, we just gave you the prophetic word of the Lord, right? Here is Christ referring to the prophetic word that Isaiah spoke. Hypocrites in the Greek is defined as, this is where we get the title of the message, the pretenders, the Pharisees and the scribes, those who are accustomed to being around the word of God, accustomed to being in the temple of God, the house of the Lord, but yet have no presence, yet have no relationship. Walk the part, look the part, speak the part, all while just pretending. Familiar with the word. Scribes are the one who pen the word. Pharisees are the one who teach the word, explain the laws to us, understand the word forward and backwards, but yet when it comes to relationship, have none. So when you think about hypocrites, hypocrites in the Hebrew is defined, in the Greek rather, is defined as an actor, stage player, or simply they hide under a false appearance. You look the part. You have the fancy robes. You're in the temple. You're in the sanctuary of the house of God. You keep the word all the time, but yet you live none of it. Pretenders. Why? Because they have allowed a space to come inside their heart where they question the Son of Man based upon tradition. I choose tradition over the Son of God. He said, Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Isaiah saw you hypocrites some 400 years ago. Have a role, but will be pretending in your role. Sound like anybody? They're doing something for God, explaining the law to the people. They have a role throughout the temple, carrying the word, carriers of the word, but yet pretending. Just a stage actor. How many times have you come into the house of God and your heart had a space where you allowed the enemy to come between you and God, but yet you came in here pretending? Yes, you cried, but some of us were really crying because we were mad about God or mad and upset with God. And we make it look like these are tears. I'm so moved by God. Think about it. I can imagine. Praise the worship, singing the song. My faith won't fail me, though I can't see. But yet your faith failed you. And you find yourself crying during this praise and worship song. Why? Not because your faith didn't fail you, but because your faith actually failed you. You are really upset. You're not crying because you are excited that your faith didn't fail you. You are mad and upset that your faith actually failed you. You prayed and asked God to help you, and it seemed like God did not help you. You are really pretending. The whore or the prostitute in your heart knows how to play the role. I can be what you need me to be in the moment. And it's in the moment. Most of us live in the moment. In the moment. Right now I'm upset. So guess what? That's why the mad Holy Ghost is showing up. Come on, give God some praise. Will you stop? Stop. Stop. We don't need your angry praise up here. Because just because your voice got louder was not an indication that there was more power. You just got louder. There was no power. And see, most of us are not going to tell the truth because guess what? The whore, the prostitute, he lives a life of lies. what they do is performance-based. There is no honor in what they do. Why? Because when you go and look at the definition, right? Give it a definition of whore or prostitute. There is no honor in what they do. Whore or prostitute is one who violates. See, last time we had sale up here, I had the wrong word. And God took me to my original definition. They violate his or her own honor. Pretending to be someone else for someone. You don't honor who God has called you to be. You're not honoring who God created you to be. And then you're not honoring God because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. One who violates his or her honor by offering to hire his or her body for base gain or for an unworthy doing. There's nothing worthy about what you're doing. Yes, you may make good money. But with all your money, you're still broken. And this is specifically for sexual intercourse. Listen, we're trying to deal with those of us that was a pretender, that whore, that prostitute that is in our heart, that's a pretender, have us pretending at times. Think about it. Someone asks you a simple question. How you doing? I'm good. You're pretending. Let's be real. The reality, you're not good. Because you're not making the money you know you're worthy of, and you're mad about it. You keep playing double dutch, whether or not you're going to go and ask for a raise, because guess what? You're doing three people's job, but you only get paid for your job, which is not enough for what you actually do, and you're mad about it. There are still some things that you want right now, but yet you don't have enough money to get it, and you're mad. So the truth be told, you are not good. You pretending by telling folks, I'm good. No, the reality, you are not good. I wish somebody just go ahead and say, okay, since you asked me the question, okay, guess what? You are now my prisoner. You are now my high. I'm going to tell you the real truth. I ain't good. I'm mad about the fact I ain't got enough money. I'm mad about the fact that I'm sexually frustrated. I'm mad about the fact these kids don't listen to nobody. I'm mad about the fact that my car breaking down. I ain't got the money to pay for that. I'm just mad. What was my echo, man? Y'all should give me an echo right there. That happened to me the other day. Let them look, because guess what? You said, I would rather them look crazy, because guess what? You're the one walking around looking crazy by pretending, talking about I'm good. But everybody can tell that you're not good. You're the only one walking into this deception that I'm okay. Just because my mama told me, don't never let them see you sweat. Don't never let them see you going through. You put a smile on your face, baby. You do your hair, put your, with all you're doing of your hair. With all of your not sweating, with all your mascara that you got on your face, which is nothing but a mask, we can still tell that you are not good. Why are you slamming everything? Why are you moving everything hard, physically hard? Because it is a sign that you are not good. But you're just pretending. I'm good. Right. Every time you say something, you sigh. Every time you do something, you sigh. You just sighing all the day. Just frustrated all day long. You mad about this little raggedy lunch that you had to bring from home. I don't want this crap, but it's all y'all got. So stop lying, talking about you good. Because the truth be told, you would go spend some money and get exactly what you want. But you know we ain't got the money in the bank. So guess what? In order to save the money, I got to take this raggedy leftover lunch. And I don't want to eat the same thing. I don't want to eat what I just ate last night. Because last night it wasn't good. And it ain't going to be good today. True. I'm just telling you a truth. That's how some of us are. And you feel it. But rather than just telling the truth, you hold it in. All the anger that you holding in, Have you ever thought about all the anger you holding in? Your baby just coming from school, bebop down the sidewalk. Oh, we had a good day, a good day. As soon as they get in the car, how was your day at school? Your children look like breathing on hard because you just terrified them accident. How was your day at school? The monster came out of you. Children almost about to jump up. What the world? That's how some of us are. I'm just telling you. I just had that moment. I didn't have the money for this crap. I had the money. But you know how you have the money, but your money is already accounted for. This money got to go over here. Something started happening with my car. I said, oh! They told me what that price was. I said, sir. You know how you get your professor. Let me make sure I heard you correctly. Are you saying you heard them? You're just trying not to look crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Because although you got the money, you really don't have the money. You're just trying to save it. So what you're saying is, give me a second. Let me call my wife. I don't do anything without talking to my wife. Right, looking crazy, right? So then he mentioned, the wife saying, she reminded me of all the things we got to do. Oh, my God. Well, what do you want me to do? The kids are in the car with me most of the time. My car has to be right. What do you want me to do? Well, Lincoln, I don't think we should pay all. So then, you know, this is how you know I was pissed. Okay. So when your car was messing up, and it cost an all that, because it cost around about the same thing. Oh, we had to drop that for yours though. So you trying to tell me your car is better than my car? That's what you trying to say? Just tell us how you feel. So then your mind started wandering, and like, well, it was not a problem when it came to your car, but when it came to my car, well, we had other stuff to do when your car needed fixing. Right? So, long story short, really don't have the money. And so why? You know, as Christians, we just get the devil all kind of, this devil messing with my car. The devil ain't messing with your car. Stop! Ain't the devil. The devil ain't concerned about my car. He's not going under my hood pulling spark plugs out like, yeah, that. The devil's not concerned about my car. It's a machine. Machines are not built to last forever. And if you don't give it the proper maintenance, guess what? Eventually something is going to tear down. And even when you give it the proper maintenance, guess what? Stuff is still going to tear down. It just happened at the wrong time for me. You know what? God, this devil, I'm so sick of this devil. Messing with my car. Can't stand you, devil. Wasn't the devil. See, when you really gonna pray, it ain't the devil. He says, you just don't want to drop that money. I sold on. I don't. Because I don't have it. He said, lie, you got it. You got it. Look at your bank account. You got it. God, but you know when I'm saying I really don't have it because the money got to go over here. You got it. So, we get the car fixed, and you would think there was relief. I'm mad I had to spend that money. See, y'all not going to tell the truth. I'm mad that I even had to spend that amount of money. Even though I got the money, instead of giving God praise that I had the money, I walk up out that joint like, I can't stand God Almighty, man. I was not expecting this right here, man. So, you just thinking about all the problems that this has just created. Rather than giving God praise for the fact that you had it. Pretending. Because he got right in the car. After all my frustration, God, I thank you. What were you thankful for? You were not thankful. You just following the tradition of man. What's your tradition? God, I thank you, God. You know what? Because I thought I hit this wall. Because the reality, it's nothing left for me to do but to really just give him praise. Because what is being mad about the saw? Being mad ain't about the change, because you still going to have to pay that money in order for you and your kids to travel back safely back and forth to school. You still going to have to drop that money. So just drop the money and just drop a praise while you at it. Just drop the money and then have a deep moment. Drop everything and give them a praise. You understand what I'm saying? But I didn't do that. I began to just have a tantrum, pretending. Rather showing out in praise, showing out in prayer and intercession, showing out in worship. No, I want to show out in anger, show out in frustration. No, because guess what? You walking around holding all that stuff in, it's not good for your physical system. So stop lying, telling folk you good because you're not good. You know, it's just the truth. Some of us walk around, we sexually frustrated, and you, I'm good. No, you're not. You're just not. Let's tell the truth. I ain't saying you got to go into all of that. Just, I am not good. Lord, need to touch me right now. Just be honest is what I'm saying, right? Because it's showing you that you are what? You're a hypocrite. And this is what the world see about us so-called Christians. They see your hypocritical ways, and they see my hypocritical way. But yet here you come talking about Jesus. They're looking at you like, No, something has to change. You need to close the space, close that place that is in your heart, so that the enemy cannot come between you and God. You understand the enemy is relishing in the fact that he's coming between you and God? He's standing between you and God. You can't get to God because he's blocking you. You know how much the enemy loves that? You can't get to your great God because of me. And I'm only here because you let me in. You, me, we let him in. Because you know what the enemy can bank on with us? God, they pretenders. They always talk about keep it 100. He said, no, God, they good at 99 and a half. They good at 99 and a half, God. They don't want to keep it 100. They want to just keep it real. They get real sometimes. But they think that's doing something because they get real sometimes, when you want them to be real all the time. They think they're doing something when they tell the truth sometimes, but God, you want them to tell the truth all the time. And they've been dancing in that space. Having a party in that, you know what I'm saying? Having a party in that space. Just going in the space that you, the environment that you gave him, the environment that I gave him. Because at the end of the day, he said, you know what, God, they're pretenders. They're making the most money that they ever made. They still not happy. They have more in their life now than they've ever had before, and they still don't have the joy of the Lord in their life. He said, you know how I know God? Because they still praying. The joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, God, they don't have no joy, because if they did, they wouldn't be praying that prayer. Look at all that you've blessed them with, God. Listen to them, God. You gave them children, gave them blessings, and they always holler about it. Y'all get on my nerve. Be quiet. You get on my nerve. They don't enjoy that blessing, God. Because they always yelling at them. I mean, look at them, God. They never talk to them how you talk to them. They always fussing at the blessing, God. They don't appreciate the blessing. They pretenders. But always holler, I'm blessed and highly favored. He dancing in that space that we created for him. They walk around talking about they love you, God. No, they love what you can do for them, God. They love the things that you've blessed them with. They don't really love you like that. Because if they did, God, they would love you at all times. They would love you in the good. They would love you in the bad. They would love you in the ugly. They would love you in the beautiful. They would love you when it's easy. They would love you when it's hard. They love you when they're up. They love you when they're down. They love you at all times. He's trying to deal with the pretender that's in your heart. Yeah, everybody see what you do in church, whether you serve or whether it be your giving. But like God told the prophet Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance of man. I look at the heart. When God looks at your heart, what does God see? Or better yet, who does God see? There has to be a change of heart. So we keep trying to bring God his word back. God, you said, you said, you said, you said. But what about what you said? When you said, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, you were basically saying, I'm changing my heart. I'm changing who I love. I'm changing what I love. Change your heart. And some of us have slid him back to the things that we love. Think about it. Your first love. Most of us have had a first love. You probably have no contact with him. But you don't have to slide back by means of contact. Sometimes you slide back because of a memory. Sometimes you slide back because of a thought. Sometimes you slide back because something captured your attention or reminded you of them. A phrase, a smell. Heard y'all favorite song, y'all favorite movie, favorite TV show, the place y'all used to go and eat. Something reminded you. You didn't have to have contact with them for you to be reminded of them, of what y'all once had. See, some of us have slid him back to what we used to love. But yet you're saying you love him. Think about this. Confession is a good thing. Wouldn't you agree? Notice throughout the course of your day, for those of us that confess, you spend more time confessing your faults, your wrongs, your sin, than how much you love him, than how much you need him, than how much you adore him, how much you want him. God, I confess, God, I'm struggling with lust of the eyes today, God. God, I'm help my eyes, God. But nowhere you said in your day, God, I want to see you. Show me your glory, God. I want to see your face. Most of your day was spent confessing about your sin. Nothing to do with God. Pretenders. It's real quiet in here. Must be on something. Love God. But guess what? He said Isaiah prophesied about 400 years ago. You're a hypocrite. You're just an actor on a stage. They say the best actors come out of where? Just an actor on a stage. This needs to change, y'all. Stop talking about you desperate and you not doing desperate things. Stop talking about you want him and you not showing that you want him. Because he said all that is lip service. Your actions speak louder than what you're saying. Show me you want me. And see, when we were desperate, we would do things like, God, I'm about to give you a $100 check, God. And I ain't even got $100 in my bank account. So I did stuff like that. I'm about to fast, God. Beat this flesh back, God, so that I can get closer to you, to become more sensitive to you. Oh, no, we ain't fasting now. Only way I'm going to fast is when the church does a corporate fast. But the church doesn't live in your house. The church does not go to your job with you. Do you understand? So all the issues that you're dealing with, I'm going to fast when the church fast. Okay. You forget that the church is made up of a collection of individuals. So if you got a bunch of undisciplined people, then guess what? That really makes the church. An undisciplined church, y'all. Look around you. Like when you see an empty chair, that's an undisciplined individual that is a part of the church. That should bother you. People that you know that you don't see in church, it should bother you. But you won't fast for God. Just fast that someone else will have a breakthrough and they like, what I'm getting out of that? Why you got to get something out of it? Why it can't be? You should be happy that someone that you knew who wasn't in church is back in church, giving God praise, worshiping God. Parents, something is wrong. If from birth, all of our children, all they've known was the things of God, but don't none of them want Jesus like that. I'm talking about from the womb. We've been laying hands on them while they turning around farting in the womb. Crapping in their mama's stomach, we've been laying hands on them, right? And now that they out, it's like they don't want no Jesus. When is that going to do something to you, parent? Well, you're going to turn your plate over. Feed them, but turn your plate over. And say, God, the devil would not have my child, God. No, God, your word, what you said, it is going to come to pass. If that means I got to turn my plate over for you to change their appetite for you, God, then I'm willing to sacrifice, God. There's just certain things that you have to do that you may be unwilling to do. But it is necessary that you do. Because guess what? Somebody's life is on the line. Our children don't understand it. We've been saying it to them. But the truth be told, they don't believe that a real live devil wants them. They don't believe. Even though they let the devil use them. They still don't believe that a real live devil is after them. Doing all kind of wicked stuff and they don't believe a devil is after them. And some of the head, that was just me. It was just you with your demonically possessed self. You right. And see, some of us, we don't want to say it about your child. No, your baby, your little Ray-Ray and your little Susie full of little people. Oh, I done told mine. Oh, you got some little people in you. Oh, yes. And I want them little people in you to know I see you. Oh, yeah, the twitching of your eyes, I see it. I see you. And see, the kids think you be talking to them at times. I'm talking to both of y'all. But you know what's crazy? When you tell a child that, they okay with having them little people. Because guess what? I was. I like my little pocket monsters, my little Pokemons. When I needed anger, now watch me morph. I dare you. You know what I'm saying, drill sergeant? I dare you. Turn into the little Hulk, right? Keep that Pokemon of anger, yeah. I'm sick of y'all. All you did was reason your part and threw out anger. I'm just saying, when you're struggling with lust, you just took out your little Pokemon of lust. Let me see what I can see today. Online, in school, at the store, at the park, in the neighborhood, at church. Let me see what I can see. Just threw your little Pokemon of lust out there. That's all it was. And after your little monster, your little pocket monster has pleasured you, and you put it back in your pocket. You fold it up and put it back in your pocket. I'm good today now. I've been fed. Yeah, you letting a little monster feed you. That could preach right there, being fed by monsters. I just believe, monster or not, any mother, even a mother of a monster, gonna love her monster child, gonna feed her child. So what am I really saying? Oh, that monster gonna feed you some high price stuff, some quality stuff, showing you quality breasts, quality round butts, nice pedicured toes, nice pedicured finger, nice glossy lips. That monster feeding you quality stuff. Because that's my baby. I want my baby to have the best. Think about it. When anger comes, it gives you the right situation to unleash all your anger. For example, if you have siblings, why you explode on your sibling, but you don't explode at the person at school like this? You ready to fight your sister, brother, like they're a stranger in the street, but the actual stranger at school, you only get semi-mad. I'm just saying, don't do that again. And like, I didn't like when you did that. Oh, but if it's your sibling, I will bust your head. You do it again. You going to the hospital. I promise you going to the hospital. They so mad they done left the tea out. You going to the hospital. That's how angry you get. You can't even talk right. Do it again. I'll bust your head. Don't care what mama said. I'll bust your head. But you didn't talk to the stranger like that. Y'all know I'm not lying. You see how that anger fed you? Gave you quality anger. Quality anger. But the stranger, who should have got that? It's all right. Just don't do it again. We good. I know you ain't mean that, man. We good. But if we say, after you fuss and fight, now hug your sister. Man, why I gotta hug them, man? Why I gotta hug them? They did that, man. I ain't even do nothing to them, man. I just, why I gotta hug them, man? I ain't get my nerve, man. I gotta hug them, man. Yeah, God. They been walked around the whole room, up and down the stairs, think about everything before they get over here. Man, you messing up the scene, bro. You gotta hug me. Just saying though, they go through all of that. But you done dapped up, bro, it's good, it's all good. You might do it with it's love. Ain't no problem. Nobody had to tell you to hug the dude at the school. But when we say hug your sister, hug your brother, you can't even talk. y'all know I can't make that up. I'm just, bruh, ooh, when that happened in my house, oh, we firing mad. I can't even talk. You know someone you just stand and they hugging you like, I said, hug your. You know what? See, when they get out that couch, you're like, man. He seen be doing that. And it goes on and on, but you let it go with the stranger. And you're going to keep it going with your sibling. Pretender. I'm just saying, pretender. We did all of that. It's crazy how we treat the folk on the outside of our house better than we treat the folk inside of our house. You know, children, how you respect other adults better than you respect your parents. I'm talking about the one who bending over backwards for you because them Jordans and them Nikes that you talking about you want, your teacher ain't buying that. That's your mama then. But you a yes ma'am and yes sir, your teacher all day long and get in the house. What? Yeah. Huh?
But get in school. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Where is the honor? So guess what, children? It works for you. When you honor your parents, guess what? You open the door to their heart. When you honor your parents, you open the door of their hearts. So you always quick to talk about what they won't do, how they don't listen, how they don't give. Then we got to ask you, have you honored? Because if you have not honored, then the heart, that door of their heart is not open. It doesn't mean they don't love you. Now, they love you, but to get in an intimate place, you're not there. And that doesn't mean that they won't bend over backwards and do and take a bullet for you, because they will. We're going to end right there. Glory be to God. We got to deal with the pretenders. Because, like we said, there was a whore, prostitute, that is abiding in the hearts of God's people. And we got to get that broken lover fixed in us. Because even the prostitute, the whore, wants to be loved. And there was a part of you that still feels that you're not loved properly. Or you just don't receive love at all. And that's what makes us tend to slide or go looking for someone or something else. So the whore is just looking for another opportunity to be paid, but looking really to be loved. Amen. So be honest with yourself. Deal with your whore's nature. Yeah. If this is the word that God got speaking over your life, then don't downplay it. Don't be like, I ain't got no whore in my heart. Then you lying to yourself. That whore is lying to you on the inside of you, right? And that whore is lying to you because she's a good pretender. Some people will sit right in the word and be like, well, that wasn't for me. I ain't got no whore. Yeah, it's exactly for you. Because if you're sitting underneath this word, you call me your pastor, this is what God has got going for Church of Philadelphia. He's dealing with the whores in our hearts. So is you. It's me too. The pastor got a little whore in my heart. I'm going to get that whore saved. I'm going to go lay that whore on my altar. You got to go to the altar, whore. Yeah, I'm going to talk to her. You got to go to the altar, whore. I'm about to get you saved and delivered. And the reality, we're only calling the whore that space, that place in your heart, which keeps looking to be filled by other things and other people. That is the whore that we're talking about. When God does no longer occupies that space or that place, then a whore is there.